Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're so glad that you all are joining us, both here in person and online. If you are joining us online, you can find information about our church and the worship bulletin in the Facebook feed. And the prayers and the liturgy will also be printed up beyond the screen so that you can follow along with us in our service. A number of announcements to share this morning. First, I'm going to turn it over to Garrett.
This is pretty small potatoes, but I just thought for you avid readers and hymn listeners, we had to call an audible at the last moment, or as Peyton Manning might say, Omaha! But I did not play It Is Well With My Soul for the prelude. That was When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. You will hear It Is Well With My Soul as the postlude today. Thank you.
Now that we've brought down everybody's anxiety, point out a few other announcements. First of all, in the back of your bulletin, our new member classes started today. If you were interested in joining us and somehow missed today, it's not too late. Please join us next week. Also, the annual fall cleanup is coming up next Saturday. This is one of the big cleanup days in our church. We can use help from any able-bodied person who's willing to come and lend some of your time next Saturday morning between 8 and noon. There are a variety of tasks that need doing, and all you have to do is show up, and folks will guide you to where we need you and give you the tools you need to do it. If you can come, please come, and you may as well bring some gloves and a rake with you just in case, because there's who can't always use another rake when we're dealing with leaves. So we hope that you will join us for that. Also, 2 weeks from Saturday, we'll be taking down the tent out back. We're moving our men's breakfast up a week to November 12th, hoping folks will come at 8 for breakfast and spiritual conversation, which will then fuel us to go out back and take down the tent. So two quick opportunities for service. Also, you will see information about our midnight run, which is actually a breakfast run on November 12th also. There's information in the bulletin about what we need to make that run a success. And then in our mental health ministry, we are pleased to announce that tomorrow will be the beginning of our new bereavement support group. And so if you are interested or know of someone who might be interested in that, we ask you, there's information in the bulletin, and we invite you to join. Finally, Garden of Hope. Our amazing community garden, today is one of the fall cleanup days for that. So if you're not planning on doing anything else this afternoon and would still like to get out and enjoy some fresh air, Donna Dennis is available after the service. She can give you information on how to help. So with that, let us take a moment to take a deep breath, to maybe empty our hands of whatever we are holding and close our eyes, to breathe, and to become aware of the love that is both within us and all around us.
Good morning. Please join me for the call to worship. God calls us as we are, for God made us. Christ calls us where we are, to do what we are made to do.
Christ calls us to follow Him and to love one another as He loves us.
The Spirit calls us to live lives of faith and service.
The Spirit sends us into the world to share our God-given gifts and the good news of God's healing love for another.
Come, for God is calling you. Enter this time of worship to be called, to be loved, and to be sent.
Thank you.
Join me in the prayer of confession. God, whose giving knows no ending, all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. We confess that we often forget that all things come from you, believing that we have earned or created what we have by ourselves. Then we are afraid that what we have is not enough. We confess that we give grudgingly rather than freely. We give what we have left over, we have satisfied ourselves, even as you call us to imitate your self-giving love in Jesus Christ. Forgive us for all the ways we limit your generosity and make excuses for our self-centered choices and priorities. Open our hearts to your gracious gift of love and grace.
Open our hands to you generously, joyfully, sacrificially, from the blessings you have given us, and to share your abundance with the world. Amen.
Please join me in the assurance of grace. Hear the good news. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that all who trust and follow him will not perish, but will have whole and everlasting life.
What wonderful news. Every day God offers us forgiveness and grace, new opportunities and second chances.
So how will we live will we live in light of this good news?
We will love and live, share and give, as we follow in the way of Jesus. Amen.
Please join us in the response to grace. Join us for the prayer for understanding. Look back if you need to.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O Lord, that we may hear with fresh ears and see with fresh eyes your living word as it is read and proclaimed, and that we may be renewed in our faith and commitment to follow your will and your way as Jesus taught us. Amen. The first lesson today is from Micah, chapter 6-8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
I'd like to invite all our children and youth to come join me up front. It's really okay if you guys want to stay. There's more coming. Don't feel bad for me. Good morning. So today we are going to talk about a word that I'm kind of curious what you think it means. The word is sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? What does that mean? Any ideas? Okay, so a person that gives their life for someone else, maybe. Yep. Jamie, do you have an answer?
Yeah, maybe like something.
Come on up. We got some space over here.
It's just something that you sort of give up. Like, you give up something, and maybe in the long run, maybe in the short term, it somehow helps you.
Okay, so it's when you give something, maybe of what you have, or you share something with somebody who needs it, right? Why do we do that? Why would somebody make a sacrifice for somebody else, do you think? Why would they do that? Because they care deeply about it. That's right. So what I would like you to do, and what I'd like you all to do, is to think about who has made a sacrifice for you. Who has given you something, done something for you, because they cared very deeply about you. Maybe it wasn't exactly what they wanted to do, but they set aside what they wanted to do to allow you to do or be something. Can you guys think of any examples like that? Yeah.
Well, of course, my first thought would be my parents, because they were
excellent. Thank you. And let me just say that at the first service, we didn't have any wise young people here. And when I asked the grown-ups to think about someone or someone who had sacrificed something for them, there were crickets. And I said, well, you guys have parents, right? You're right. So parents sacrifice a lot for their children, right? And you may not even realize it now. Someday you will, and that's fine. You're not supposed to. But parents give up a lot of sleep and a lot of anxious nights and a lot of things to have children. And it's totally worth it. Trust me. But nonetheless, there's definitely sacrifice involved with being a parent, and that enables you to be here today. What are some other sacrifices that you can think of that people have made that have allowed you to be here today?
My parents will always drive me 2 hours round trip so I can visit Kent High School and today I can catch up like in practice changing.
All right, so that's your parents again, but yeah. So they are doing something for you go ahead. All right, teachers at school. Sometimes teachers come early, stay late after school to help their students. They take extra time. They may come up with special lesson plans to help students understand material. Yes, so students and teachers definitely. Others?
Jesus.
All right, so there's the big one. right, so, you know, the whole reason we have, we have two crosses, the ones behind the banner, but the whole reason, kind of what we celebrate as a church, is that Jesus made a sacrifice for us. He gave his life to show us what God's love looks like. And so, but I think sometimes we, when we're asked about sacrifice, we jump to Jesus. Oh, look what Jesus did. And then we say, well, Jesus is God. We can't do that. And we don't think about all the sacrifices that happen all the time for us. So parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors, people in the community, teachers, Sunday school teachers, youth group leaders, the people who are going to come work at the fall cleanup, they are giving time. They are giving of themselves. And, you know, there's probably something else people want to do with their Saturday morning. But they're going to come here and help us clean up this property so that it's in good shape. So as you leave today, I'd like you to just kind of keep thinking about this idea of sacrifice and what does it mean to give something for someone else and to remember that the reason we do it is love. Your parents sacrificed for you because they love you dearly. Jesus sacrificed his life for us because God loves us dearly. And it's that love that's underneath it all that helps make sacrifices not necessarily feel like such a sacrifice. It makes it a gift, and it's a gift that we give and we share. Let's say a prayer together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the things that people have done that have allowed us to be here today. We thank you for the many generations of people who have come before us in this church and kept it a lively community of faith so that we can be sitting in these pews. We thank you for parents and friends and neighbors and teachers and coaches and everybody in our lives who gives their time and their energy and their care and their love that we may catch a glimpse of how much you love us. Help us to be as loving in our lives. Amen. Thank you. You guys can go back to your seats. Our second lesson today comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to tell David that he should go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up following Gad's instructions, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Ornan turned and saw the angel, and while his four sons who were with them hid themselves, Ornan continued to thresh wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David. He went out from the threshing floor and did obeisance to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of the threshing floor that I may build an altar to the Lord. Give it to me at its full price so that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Ornan said to David, "Take it and let my lord the king do what seems good to him. See, I present the offerings for the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing sledges for the wood and the wheat for a grain offering. I give it all." But King David said to Ornan, "No, I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David paid Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. David built there an altar to the Lord, and he presented burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. He called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. The word of God for the people of God. As many of you know, this fall we are checking our vital signs as a church. We are reaching out and reconnecting with people after 2 years of pandemic disruptions to better understand who we are and what kind of shape we're in. We've also been focusing on the pulse of generosity in our congregation and what we need to do to keep it beating steady and strong. Before I go any further, though, I want to ask you to take a moment yet again to find your pulse. Maybe on your neck or your wrist. Just sit a moment and listen to it. Not just with your ears, because if your pulse is beating that loudly, there might be a problem, but to listen with your whole body. Try to become aware of the blood pumping throughout your body, taking oxygen and life to every organ and finger and toe. Isn't that amazing? That steady beat, beat, beat that we feel under our fingers goes on all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. Now, as you continue to listen to your pulse, take a moment to think about what it takes to keep your heart beating and your pulse pumping. Think about the many organs and body systems that are involved with keeping you alive and what they require. Necessities like food and water, sleep and exercise, clothing and shelter to protect us and keep us functioning comfortably. Think about what you have to do every day to ensure your health and well-being and what might happen if you stopped doing them. For instance, what would happen if I gave in to my sweet tooth and ate pie and cookies and donuts all the time? My sugar levels would rise, my arteries would clog, and my kidneys would not be able to keep up. And that would certainly affect my pulse and my other vital signs, like my blood pressure. Or what happens when we don't get enough sleep? Or when we don't drink enough water? Our bodies can't get rid of the waste products as efficiently or heal from the physical or emotional stressors of life. And our minds don't function as clearly. How often do we sacrifice something that we really like or that we'd really like to do because we know it might have a detrimental effect on our well-being? The answer is probably much more than we even realize, because we want to stay alive, right? And we're willing to do what it takes to honor and care for the gift of life that we have been given in our bodies. Today we are talking about sacrifice and how sacrifice keeps the pulse of our generosity healthy and strong. I will be the first to admit that sacrifice is not a word we like to use much today. It conjures up images of primitive civilizations and ancient mythologies in which people have to offer up sacrifices to keep their gods happy or their crops growing or their enemies at bay. Our Wednesday evening Disciple Bible study just spent 2 weeks reading through the Old Testament books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, hence our second lesson today, and boy did we read about a lot of sacrifices. In 2nd Chronicles, after King Solomon finished building the temple, we are told that he dedicated it to God with an offering of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. The numbers are mind-boggling. What did they do with all that? Today, we are pretty selective in how we use the word sacrifice. We are quick to bring it out for national holidays, like Memorial Day and Veterans Day and July 4th, in recognition of the sacrifices made by all who serve our country in times of war. And when babies are born, parents very quickly become aware of the sacrifices required of their own comfort, schedule, and sleep to raise children. We admire elite athletes who sacrifice all kinds of time and energy and comforts to achieve amazing feats. Occasionally, we even claim no pain, no gain as our own mantra when we're trying to lose weight or get in shape. But I would guess that by and large, most of us feel a bit wary about the word sacrifice. We may admire others for making a sacrifice, but we usually aren't interested in doing it ourselves. If our boss or some other leader starts to talk about sacrifice, we immediately think, uh-oh, this doesn't sound good. In our individualistic and materialistic culture, we are not really encouraged to sacrifice our personal comfort and security, our personal well-being for a greater good. Although shared sacrifice was a crucial part of our country's success and national identity in the past, it will probably not win you an election today. And in some circles, such sacrifice is even viewed as a weakness, not a strength. By and large, sacrifice makes us uncomfortable because we are far more focused on what we will have to give up and the resulting inconvenience or discomfort to us personally than on the greater good that might come out of it. As people of faith, however, this is not what sacrifice is supposed to be about. At its root, the word sacrifice means to make holy. To sacrifice something is to give it a holy purpose, is to set something aside for a special use. It's not so much about what we give up, but what we invest of ourselves in a higher purpose. Our scripture lessons this morning help us understand this. In our second lesson, King David, who was the greatest king of all Israel's history, is tasked with building an altar, a place of worship to God. And God tells him to go visit a man named Ornan and to build the altar on Ornan's threshing floor. We may not be too familiar with threshing floors, but back in biblical times, a threshing floor was a large outdoor area with a hard, smooth surface, often in the shape of a circle. Farmers spread out their sheaves of wheat or oats and barley on the threshing floor, and then they trampled them using oxen or donkeys or wooden flails to separate the grain from the husks. Ornan's threshing floor was on top of a hill, and nice and level, so it was the perfect place for an altar to God. When David approached Ornan and asked to purchase the space, Ornan immediately dropped to his knees with his face to the ground like any good subject in the presence of greatness and willingly offered to give King David his threshing floor. Being a faithful servant and citizen, he even threw in the oxen, the equipment, and the grain along with it as a bonus. "I give it all," Ornan said. But David did not want to just take it, even though he could have as the king. That would have been too easy. That wouldn't have meant anything to him personally. So he responded, "No, I will buy them for full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. I will not offer to God something that cost me nothing," David said. "The God I believe in, the God of my ancestors, the God who brought Israel out of slavery and into this promised land, the God who chose me to be king, this God is worth way more than that to me." David loved God, and David was grateful to God. And love and gratitude are all about personal investment and sacrifice. It would have been an insult to offer God anything less. Certainly something that didn't cost anything. It reminds me of a story that pastor and church consultant Herb Miller once told about two different men. The first man and his wife were walking down the street one day when they stopped in front of a jewelry store to admire some of what was in the window. And the wife saw a ring and she said, "Oh, I wish I could have a ring like that someday." This couple lived on a very low income, and they certainly didn't have the money for such extravagances, so she knew it was just a pleasant dream. But the man loved his wife very much, and he always felt badly that he had not been able to give her nice things like this during the many years of their marriage. Even though they were constantly struggling with expenses that always seemed greater than their income, that day he made a promise to himself. He was going to do something special for her next Christmas. He started saving every little extra penny, dime, and dollar he could. Sometimes he would eat a smaller lunch at noon or no lunch at all and set aside the money in his hiding place. Finally, as December rolled around, he began to shop for the kind of ring his wife had so admired in the window. He spent many a lunch hour looking in various stores, comparing prices, trying to be sure that he got the best possible ring for the amount of money he had saved. At last, he found it, He bought it, had it wrapped up, and waited in excited anticipation for Christmas Day. A few weeks later, another man, a very wealthy man with an enormous annual income, realized that Christmas was only a week away. During this past year, he had been so preoccupied with his work, climbing the ladder, building his professional and social networks, that he had barely been home, much less spent any time with his wife, who was also busy with her job and the house and the kids. But it was Christmas, so he sent his secretary down to a jewelry store to buy his wife a present. She selected something nice, and it was very expensive. The man was proud when he gave it to his wife on Christmas morning, even though he had not even seen the diamond-studded bracelet until his wife unwrapped it. He felt like he had done the right thing. Which man had a stronger pulse of generosity? Which man was motivated by love and gratitude rather than obligation or desire to impress? As the prophet Micah reminds us in our first lesson, God isn't interested in showy offerings or obligatory contributions. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. What God desires most from us is us, a relationship with us, walking with God and following God's ways of love and justice and peace. God wants us to invest ourselves in this relationship, to bring all of who we are and what we have to the table, and then to live our lives in light of God's abundant love and healing grace each day, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world. How does the way we live help us remember whose we are as God's beloved children and Christ's faithful disciples? How does the way we live reflect the sacrificial love of God, in whose image we are all made? For us people of faith, sacrifice is at the very core of what we believe as Christians and who we are as disciples of Christ. Whether we realize it or not, the primary reason that we gather together here as a community of faith each and every Sunday is to celebrate the incredible love that God has for us and this world, a love so deep and so strong that God would become one of us in Jesus to show us what this love looks like. We human beings are created in the very image of this God. However, when we in the past have denied or continue to deny who God created us to be, choosing instead the ways of self-centered concern and separation from one another, sin and death, we have this Jesus who went to the cross and the grave for us, not because he had to appease an angry God or satisfy a capricious one, but to show us that our personal and communal well-being was more important to him than his own life. This Jesus, who gave his life out of love for us and this world, this is who calls us to be his disciples, to follow him on the same path. The pulse of our generosity is fueled by the deep love of God for us and our love in response. When I was an associate pastor in my first call out in Michigan, the church embarked on a big capital campaign to raise over $1.8 million to build an addition to the building and renovate their existing structure. The stewardship consultant that the church hired was Jeb Magruder, whom some of you may remember as one of the administration officials caught in Nixon's Watergate scandal. After his time in prison, interestingly or ironically, Magruder went on to become a Presbyterian minister, and then in retirement, a stewardship consultant. At one of the campaign gatherings we had, Jeb told a story about another church he had once worked with. He and the pastor of the church were tasked with visiting potential lead givers to ask for substantial contributions to the campaign. One afternoon, they came to the home of a particularly wealthy couple. The husband attended church regularly, but he wasn't really active. He let his wife serve on all the committees and teach Sunday school while he managed the business. The man had managed his business and his money wisely, and he had been very successful. In fact, he probably could have written a check for the entire campaign himself. His one indulgence was his garage full of classic cars. As Jeb and the pastor visited the couple, the man took them outside and showed them all around the garage and his prized possessions. The garage was huge. It was bigger than their house and absolutely immaculate. The cars themselves were in pristine condition. It was quite obvious that they were his pride and joy. Later in the visit, as they were sitting around having a cup of tea, the time came to ask the couple for a financial contribution to the campaign. And the man already had his checkbook ready. He was prepared to make a sizable contribution. But instead, Jeb Magruder stopped him and said, "I'd like you to think about donating one of your cars to the campaign." The man was more than a little surprised by this request. He could have easily written a check for more than any one of those individual cars was worth. But what Magruder had so wisely surmised was that writing a check wouldn't really cost him very much. It wouldn't mean that much to him. So he challenged the man to think about making a personally significant gift, sacrificing something of himself and what he truly loved to God's work in the world. Thinking back to David and that threshing floor, it was David's sacrificial gift, a gift that cost him something, that ultimately led to the temple being built on that very site about 20 or 40 years later by his son Solomon. The temple was a place for God's people to gather together and to worship the God whose sacrificial love had journeyed with them for so long. Although that particular temple has been destroyed and rebuilt a number of times and now hosts the Muslim mosque and the Dome of the Rock, it is still the holiest place in all of Judaism. Out of his love for God, David made a personal investment in the spiritual health and well-being of his people, and his sacrifice ensured that this place would nurture faith for generations to come. David and Micah and so many others in our faith story remind us that our faith doesn't just ask us to give, but it asks us to give sacrificially in response to God's great love for us, especially as we have seen it and experienced it in Jesus Christ. Just as God loved us and gave God's self to us in love, so we are called to love God and one another and this world God loves so much. We are called to live this sacrificial love by giving of ourselves and investing in the spiritual health and well-being of this community of faith. The people of God, the people that God has given to us at this time and this place, the people with whom we love and serve, grow in our faith, and work together to make God's kingdom real here on earth. That's why we sacrifice our time and our energy, our gifts and our skills to make this place what it has been for almost three centuries, a place of worship and welcome, a place of refuge and a beacon of hope, a place where everyone, children, youth, adults, the hungry, the addicted, the depressed and the anxious, the rich and the poor, the lost and the found, everyone will know the love of God and discover God's gift of abundant life. This is what keeps our pulse beating, steady and strong. So what does the Lord require of you, of me, of us? May God's sacrificial love show us the way. Amen.
Thank you.
and concerns you bring that we may pray with and for one another. To start, I will share a concern. Please keep Stephanie Hare and her family in your prayers. Her father, Bob Hare, died last evening. He had been declining for a while, but came down with an infection on Thursday night, and things moved pretty quickly. So they would covet your prayers. Her dad is an honorably retired minister in this presbytery. He served as the pastor for the Scarborough Presbyterian Church for many years. And so we certainly grieve the loss that he is, not only to Stephanie and her family, but to the larger church as well. And as a side note, youth group is canceled tonight. Other joys and concerns that you would like to share? Marty.
I pray for Madeline and Amelia, both have came down with strep throat.
So for Amelia and Madeline, who both have strep throat, yes, we will pray. Other joys and concerns? Chuck.
Yes, would you welcome Bev Arthur, who's here from Cornyn?
Yes. So welcome back to Bev Arthur, who is visiting with us this morning from Oregon. Wonderful to have you here.
Joanne and I are celebrating our 19th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wonderful. Nice to have something to celebrate. Welcome, Joanna, and your marriage. Thank you. Barbara.
I have a joy as well. My daughter, Kelly, is having another baby. Second granddaughter.
All right. So joy of new life coming soon, too, as well. That's great. More sleepless nights. Woohoo. Get it. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Beth.
That was a joy for me as well. I came to meet a new great grandchild.
Fantastic.
My granddaughter had a little son last September, and all I asked her was, please don't have him riding a bicycle before I got here.
Great. So for the joy of great-grandchildren, we also give thanks. Cheryl.
Today is my mom's birthday.
Oh, so for Jen. All right. So it's a birthday. Any other birthdays to celebrate today? No other October? How about October birthdays?
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's all for you today, Jen.
Happy birthday.
So we continue to pray for Michelle as she is home, continuing to recover. We also continue to pray for Charles Navarisi, and also for Debbie as he recovers from his accident, as well as those others in our midst who are dealing with other health crises. Pam?
I want to pray for Mariana Sherman and the delightful to see her this morning with her daughter, Jerry, and son-in-law, Roger.
Yes, so we're glad Mariana is here, and we continue to feel lost with you. It's been an honor to be here with you. So for joy even in the midst of sadness and grief, we give thanks. Steve.
Continue in prayer for Lowe's grandson, Adler, who is continuing with trouble.
Okay, so for Adler's 16-year-old rare form of brain cancer, we will continue to pray for him and for his grandma, Aloha, and his mother, Karen, and the rest of his family.
I have a concern. My neighbor, her grandson Leo, is in the hospital. He's 4, and he's got some very rare respiratory disease. And there are 6 other kids in the same hospital in Denver. So prayers for all of those kids and their families.
So prayers for Leo and all the other little ones who have been afflicted by this rare respiratory disease. We will pray. Others?
to your joy. I don't know if everybody saw this thing floating around the internet, this award-winning picture of an ant head. Has everybody seen that? It's amazing. Incredible that this little tiny thing that we pay no attention to is so detailed and gorgeous and terrifying. So, joy for the variety of nature.
Yes. That goes very well with the conference that Chip and I attended this week with John Philip Newell, who invited us to see the sacred in all things and all aspects of creation. So, yes, we certainly give thanks for God, the gift of creation and all the amazing things we continue to discover and learn about it. A word about Chip also. He was here at the first service, and for our new member class, but he had to leave. He's on the way to the airport. As some of you know, he has a part-time gig with the Board of Pensions, leading Credo conferences for clergy. This is his first time leading a Credo conference mid-career clergy. These are clergy people who come from the midst of their careers to get some rest and renewal and to kind of recharge. And so it's a tough time to be a pastor right now, and we pray for Chip and his team as they work with these clergy who are looking for some purpose and renewed vision for their churches. So let us bring all of those joys and concerns together into a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so very grateful. We are grateful for our pulse that beats when we are all the time, when we are not aware of it, that allows us to breathe and to see and to live and to love and to notice this amazing world you have given to us and the people you have given to us to love. We ask, O God, that you would be with us. We are your people. We are all the people that we mentioned. I mentioned in the sermon, we are children and youth and adults. We are rich and poor. We are young and old. We are hungry and addicted or depressed and anxious. All of us are your children, and we are all welcome here in your presence because you love us. And for that love, we give you thanks. Hear us in the silence as we lift up our prayers for all of those that we have named and the many more that we have not, who are in need of your love and your abundant life this day. Surround them, O God, with your presence, with your healing power, with your comforting strength, and help us to be an answer to the prayers we offer this day, not only for ourselves and for those we love, but for this world you love. Help us to come together as your people, that we may continue to work for justice, for peace, for the good of all life on this planet, that no one need suffer anymore. We ask that you be with our leaders, both in our church and in our community and in our world, especially as this election season grows closer and continues to be more heated. Give us wisdom, O God. Give us vision to see the world as you would have us be in it, that we may make good choices that benefit the whole of all that you have given us. Be with our church, O God, as we continue to move forward in faith. Grant us new eyes to see with clarity the vision you put before us, that we may continue to follow in the sacrificial love that Jesus came to show us. For we pray in his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as some of you may have guessed, it's stewardship season here at church. And sometime later this week, we will be mailing out our giving covenants for you to think about as we think about our budget and the church we hope to be in the coming year. We invite you, when you receive them, to prayerfully think about them for a week or so before filling them out, to think about the ways that God has blessed you and how you might share what you have been given with us, that we may continue to be the church God is calling us to be. We have invited a number of folks to share stories of their generosity with us over the next few weeks, and so today we invite Nance Thompson to come up and share with us about why she is generous.
Hi, and good morning.
Morning.
As you know, Tammy just said I'm Nance Thompson. And I'm not going to talk about CrossGen programs. Amazing, right? But I'm not. I want to let you know that I currently serve on four different commissions. Well, one's not a real commission. It's the nominating committee. But it feels like a commission because it's a lot of work. So they're asking me to talk about stewardship, and the stewardship commission asked me to talk about generosity and what motivates me to be generous, and equally important, where does my generosity lead me? I have to admit that I cannot always answer where my generosity leads me. I don't really know. I just have to wait and see. However, I can tell you what motivates me. I'm motivated when I see another person being generous, and I think, oh, why didn't I do that? Or maybe I could do that. Or can I help? That helps to motivate me. I also get motivated sometimes by realizing it's the really right thing to do. And other times I feel God pushing me. And it's not always a gentle push. Generosity takes many forms, and it's not all about money, even though money is very useful. It's about sharing your time, your love, your friendship, your smile, your kind words to a stranger. It's about giving from your heart. Generosity is an activity I learned as a child from my parents. How do you teach generosity to your family, to your children, your nieces, nephews, your neighbors? It's by being generous of your time, your talents, your love, your kindness. That's it.
As we come into this time of offering, we are all invited to reflect on what motivates us to be generous, and so may we give as God has given to us.
Thank you.
please, I invite you to join me in the prayer of dedication. Generous God, you have given us yourself in Jesus Christ, and you call us to join you on the path of sacrificial love. As we learn generosity in the midst of a world that teaches self-sufficiency, bless our gifts that they may be a blessing to others. As we learn trust in the midst of a world that teaches individualism, bless our gifts that they may lead us into community. As we learn sacrifice in the midst of a world that teaches greed, bless our gifts that they remind us of all you have given to us. We dedicate this offering of our gifts and our lives to your glory and the work of your kingdom in the world. Through Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us share the peace of Christ with one another. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and also with you. Let's share the Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.